if we're thinking about those opportunities to get someone to where we will be top of mind with them, then we have to perform in a way where we are taking care of them, where we are top of mind.
Welcome to the Marketing Study Lab podcast with me, Peter Sumpton, the Lego master of marketing and marketing consultant, providing you with the building blocks you need to be a successful marketer. This intro lasts about 1 minute, so feel free to skip forward if you've heard all this before. I seriously won't be offended. If you're new to the show, we chat to amazing people to give you practical advice you can implement right now that will make you and your marketing truly awesome. The conversations we have will lead you to the actionable marketing knowledge you've been craving, and now you've found it, so you can relax and enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks to all those that have left a 5-star Apple Podcast review. It's the best way to support what I'm trying to do here. If you have a burning marketing question, you can catch me on LinkedIn. I know I'm supposed to say the links are in the show notes, but let's face it, you've got better things to do than try and find those pesky show notes right now. Enough of the show intro. Let's get on with introducing our guest. Referrals. No matter how much we like to think that our own communication tactics alone is what drive our success, this type of marketing can be very, very successful. We all know how much word of mouth and the opinions of others can influence our decision-making process. So if we have some sort of control over this, some way of building a referral system, then surely this would be a long-term tactic that will pay off. Enter Stacey Brown Randall. Stacey teaches small business owners and sales professionals how to generate referrals without asking, without the dark arts of manipulation, and even through being your authentic self. Why should we believe her? Because this is how Stacey built her own business. And now she's here to walk us through the Referral Ninja Master Framework. So on this episode, we're going to cover why old school referral tactics don't work anymore. And then we're going to go through the 6 integral elements to a great referral strategy, which lo and behold, is the basic premise for the Referral Ninja Master Framework that Stacey has created. But first and foremost, Stacey, steak, rare, medium, or well done?
I'm kind of right there in the middle. I like it medium, but nothing bloody. So okay. Like medium-ish well, I guess you could say.
Okay, that's cool. I'm down with that. I prefer a little bit of blood, not too much though. Okay, food aside, let's move on to your story and what brings you to this point in your career and what are you up to right now?
You know, it's really interesting. It's not like I woke up one day and said, I want to teach other small business owners and solopreneurs how to generate referrals without asking. I didn't wake up with that brilliant thought of like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I actually had to come to the information and the strategies and the tactics that I teach through the School of Hard Knocks. So I had a business. It was my first business. It was an HR, human resource consulting firm. I ran it for just over 4 years. It didn't quite make it to the 5-year mark before it failed. And I had to go back to corporate America and I had to get a job, which is really hard once you've been out on your own. So I had to get a job. I had to go back to corporate America and, you know, started planning my escape route because I was like, okay, I can't be here forever. And so started a second company. I was in corporate America about 18 months. Mm-hmm. And then I really paid attention to why my first business failed. And it was taking those lessons and talking to other really smart business owners that were obviously doing something right that I wasn't. And I started my second business. And what I discovered was I needed a way to touch business development every day. I needed a way to constantly be filling that prospect pipeline, that funnel of new potential clients. But let's be honest, in a way that I wanted to do it, in a way that wasn't going to take a ton of money, right? And it wasn't going to kill my soul in the process by like cold calling or cold emailing. And I have 3 children. So spending every night of the week networking and being out eating another rubber chicken dinner wasn't really going to be ideal for me. And so for me, it was, what am I going to do to grow this next business? And so like most people, I started paying attention to what I didn't have. And what I noticed is in my first business, I didn't bring in one single referral. Like I looked back on where all my clients came from. I'm like, oh my gosh, which means I worked entirely too hard for every client I did land with my first business. And for a while, that first business, that one that failed, it was actually pretty successful. It just never got to the place where it needed to be to continue to be successful. And so when I looked back, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I want referrals. So like everybody else, I went to the all-knowing Google, right? And read all the articles and bought all the books. I was like, okay, how do I get referrals? And all of them said, you've got to ask. If you want a referral, just go ask for it. Or they gave you these really gimmicky, overly promotional things to do and say, the cheesy things that you don't always want to be known for, or the asking scripts, which are super uncomfortable. And I just had this thought. I was like, other people have to feel the way I feel. I can't possibly be the only person who's uncomfortable with the idea of asking. So I started paying attention to the human dynamic and the psychology behind why referrals happen in the first place. And so I started kind of guinea pigging on my second business. Like, okay, well, we're going to have a second business. I can't have a failure. We're going to make this work. We're going to figure out how to bring in clients. And one of those ways, I'm going to figure out how to do referrals without asking. And that's what I did. And then as my business, it was a productivity and business coaching practice. And as that business started to grow, my clients who were small business owners and solopreneurs were saying, how are you growing so fast? And then I was able to be like, oh, well, I'm just doing these things. And they're like, great, teach us those things. And that's really how it all started. I started teaching my one-on-one coaching clients my strategy of how I generated referrals. And this is now 8 years ago. So over time, you know, obviously as I taught it more and more to like one-on-one and then workshop set group settings, I refined the approach, I refined the process. And now, of course, we have the Growth by Referrals program that serves, we're in 10 different countries all around the world, specifically to helping people like, okay, I want referrals and I don't want to ask. So what's the other option? And that's the question we aim to answer.
I absolutely love that backstory. The best bit for me in a nutshell is that you looked at where your business failed. So you learned from previous experience and then you started something that you started to enjoy because you realized why it failed. And then people started asking. So you just went, huh, people, I've got a solution to people's problems. Rather than the other way around of, I'm going to start a business in X and offer Y and then realize nobody wants it. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting too, because doing it that way, it forced me to address all the things that people ask all the time now that I'm like, oh, we've been there before. Like people are always like, Stacey, do you get all those referrals because of your personality? Like, is it you that really gets the referrals? And I'm an introvert, not an extrovert like you, not a type A person like you are. Like I couldn't do the same thing. But early on, I was forced to like pay attention to, okay, who am I coaching and who's having success and what are they like? And then I was like, nope, this has nothing to do with personality. This has nothing to do with industry. But there are people this obviously works better for. And typically it's the people who want to get back to doing business the way we all like to do business, just being good humans, right? At the end of the day, like taking care of the people who take care of your business. I mean, that's ultimately what referrals are all about. I mean, there's a few more pieces to it. I know we'll talk about it, but truly, ultimately people don't refer you because you want them to, or because you're asking them to. They're referring you because somebody else has a problem and they know you can solve it.
Yeah.
So if you switch the dynamic of how you look at that relationship, then obviously all of your tactics, all of your strategies, all of the language and the things, right? Of course, they all have to change to match actually why something's happening.
Yeah, fantastic. Great stuff. And I want to dive into that. So the reason that you're here today, and thank you so much for joining us, is to provide actionable tips on referrals. And more importantly, your referral ninja master framework. So there's a few areas that I want to cover, and I know I'm going to gain so much from this. So I'm really excited. I'm here, there, and everywhere at the moment. But the first thing that I just want to highlight and cover is the old school referral tactics and why they just don't work.
Yeah, so there's three big old school referral tactics. And that's, if you want referrals, you have to ask for them. If you want referrals, you have to pay for them. And if you want referrals, you have to be overly promotional or gimmicky to receive them. Those are the three biggie. There's some other ones, but those are the really big ones that I find that people battle in their heads about when they're trying to decide that they want referrals, but they don't want to do it that way. And is it really possible to do it without those tactics? Because for generations, I mean, I used to say for decades and decades, and now I'm like, I think it's like for generations, that's how we've been trained. That's how we've been taught about if you want referrals, just ask. Or just be really cheesy and gimmicky and promotional, or right, offer to pay. And for a lot of folks, it doesn't fit within how they want to show up in their business space, right? It's not how that, it's not the reputation they want. It's not how they want to be seen. And so a big reason why the asking and the paying for advice come from, and then where that promotional gimmicky advice come from, it actually comes from how we typically teach our sales strategy. So if you think about sales strategy, right? You're a business owner, you're starting a business, you're like, I got to have some sales. And so there's two main parts to that strategy we're going to teach. And it's going to be your prospecting strategy and your marketing strategy. Both are good. Both are needed, right? But we look at prospecting and it's things like networking and 7 million cups of coffee, right? And it is, right? Maybe it's, whether it's virtual or in person nowadays, it used to be like in person all the time. So it's 7 million cups of coffee. It's networking events. It's joining associations. It's cold calling. It's cold emailing, right? It was all these ways that you would try to go out and drum up business, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it had a very short-term mentality. And so if we looked at prospecting and we tried to fit referrals into prospecting, which is what everybody used to do when they used to teach it, right? And they would teach you to ask and pay, is because it fit within a prospecting mentality. If we only look at our sales strategy, like there's a prospecting side and a marketing side, it means the advice you're going to then be given is going to slam the idea of referrals into one of those two sides. So if I'm going at it from a prospecting short-term mentality, just get me a new client kind of thought process, then of course the advice was asking and paying for referrals from the perspective of prospecting. But on the other side, we got marketing, right? So maybe it's earned media, maybe it's Facebook ads, maybe it's you're putting actually print media, right? Maybe you're doing things online, you've got a website, maybe you're doing social media, thought leadership, whatever it is, sponsorships. You've got all these things you're doing from a marketing perspective. And they have a little bit longer term mentality, so not as short term as the prospecting. But at the end of the day, we're still talking to the prospect. We're still trying to get that person to say yes to wanting to hire us or buy from us. And if I use that mentality, well, then it makes sense that then people would teach referrals, if they're trying to put it into the marketing side, that they would teach about being promotional and gimmicky and cheesy, right? Things like getting out a pack of extra gum, saying, I'll go the extra mile for your referrals, right? As a little like gift that we give out, or putting in your email subject line, I'm never too busy for your referrals, or the greatest compliment you can give me is your referrals. Like those things that over time become very cheesy and promotional. Well, if that's the only thing I'm teaching you is marketing from the perspective of where referrals fit, well, then I'm looking at it in that way. What I did is when I started paying attention to my sales strategy, I was like, wait a minute, this isn't a two-legged stool. This is a three-legged stool. So if I pulled referrals out of prospecting and out of marketing and I set it aside as its own leg of the stool, everything about how I approached those referrals changed from my messaging, my mentality, who was the end user of my message. I mean, when you think about it, the end user of the message, when we are looking at prospecting and marketing, is the prospect. Well, the end user of the message, when we're talking about referrals, is our referral source, the person who knows the prospect and is going to connect them to you. So of course, everything about it ultimately changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Great stuff. So I want to dive straight into it then. So talk us through the six integral elements to any great referral strategy. And this links to the Referral Ninja Master Framework that you've developed. So exciting stuff.
Yeah. So it's people always ask, they're like, okay, I'm buying into this whole idea that I don't have to ask for referrals. Like I'm buying into it. I don't have to do old school triggers. I can create a plan that will work better for me. And I always tell them that most important of where my strategy starts is to remember that you have to do great work. Right. And that is really this like foundational ground level stuff that like when people come to me and they're like, okay, I want to get more referrals. And I'm like, are you referable? Like that is like the first kind of question, because whereas when I talk about referrals, I'm kind of making the assumption you're already referable. So I always like to put that as like a disclaimer, lay that groundwork, be referable. Then where my program and the rest of the steps kind of pick up from there is really looking at understanding, okay, you want more referrals. You are referable. You do great work. You've gotten some referrals in the past and you're working on your client experience to always be referable. And you, the next thing to do then is to identify who's referring you. And it's really important that we identify our referral sources. And a referral source is always a human. It's always a person who refers you. You did not get referred by a Chamber of Commerce or a BNI networking group or some type of local association group. You got referred by somebody in that group, right? You didn't get referred just by, you know, a client. You got referred by a particular client. And what's the name of that client that referred you? So we get really granular on understanding who our referral sources are. And for a lot of companies and for a lot of businesses, this is work. Like this step to uncover who's referred you over the last couple of years, you're like, okay, this is work. But, and it's funny because when I talk about it with folks, I'm like, this is the piece I will happily hold your hand and walk you through because I know if I can get you through this step and I can get you to see who's been referring you, I know the light bulb's going to go off and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to take care of these people. These people have made my life easier. And in some cases, you'll look at it and you'll say, oh my gosh, I need more people. I don't have enough people that are actually referring me. And sometimes you'll look at the list and you'll be like, I have all these fabulous humans who are referring me and I haven't talked to any of them in 18 months. So I'm neglecting them. So it's really important we identify who. The easiest way to do this, pull list your clients and then identify how that client first learned about you. If you have this information saved in some type of database or an online CRM, client relationship management tool, great. If not, sit down with a piece of paper and try to mentally try to remember how these clients heard about you. Look back through old calendar appointments, email thread communication that you've had with them, or just pick up the phone or send an email and ask them, hey, I'm updating my records. And I just, for some reason, didn't capture how you first learned about me. Do you remember? Like, you're only asking clients probably the last 3 years. If you've been in business 20 years, I don't need you to call somebody from 1999. Like, that is not necessary. But looking at when your new clients came in 2020, and then your new clients who came in 2019, and then your new clients who came in 2018, give me 3 or 4 years of that data, and then go back and try to figure out where those folks came from. That is ultimately what we are after when we are attempting and trying to make sure we understand who came by referral, and who was the referral source, and who may have come in a different way because they saw a Facebook ad or we met them at a networking event or what have you. So that's kind of like that first main step is identify referral sources.
And it's very similar to one thing that a lot of marketers miss, and that's asking the question, asking people, talking to your clients, and in this stage it's slightly different, but you know, talking to your clients and finding out what they need from you, actually doing those conversations and going to see some of your customers. And I think a lot of marketers miss that bit, and they see it as, particularly in business to business, that a business will buy from a business. And well, that, yes, you could argue through technology that's potentially possible, but at some point there is human interaction there. There is a human talking to another human. And that's the bit a lot of people miss.
It is. And you know what's interesting is because when I'm going to make a larger purchase or a larger investment, or I am going to overhaul an entire system within my company, or I'm going to bring on a new CPA, or I'm going to maybe hire a new financial advisor or work with a realtor or an interior designer, there are some things that we decide that we are going to do, that we're going to buy. We're not buying the company at that moment, right? Let's be honest, I don't need to talk to anybody at Amazon to go buy a book or office supplies or my favorite tea, right? Like, I don't need to talk to anybody at Amazon to do that. I don't need to talk to I don't really need to talk to most people at my SaaS type companies that are more software as a service. Like I can see your free trial. I can do the demo myself. I can buy your buy your product. And then if it doesn't work, I can hop on chat and then talk to a human, right? Because those are typically lower dollar type service offerings. But when I'm making the decision to have somebody new, right, actually do my taxes and help me with my tax planning, I'm probably going to want to have a conversation with them because it's not just my family, it's the business as well as, right, with the CPA. And the same thing, when the larger the transaction is, the larger the investment is, the more likely there's a human interaction, just like you said, and people buy from people, period. They buy who they want to work with. And then they back up their decision to buy from that person they like with all the logical reasons as to why they made the right decision. And so it's really important that you actually have connection in that way.
Yeah, Absolutely. So we've laid the groundwork and we've got a good product or service, or we've provided a solution to somebody's problems, like you so fundamentally did, and we went through that backstory. Then we've started to identify a couple of referral sources and understood where our referrals are coming from. So what's the next stage that we're doing here?
The next thing is we got to have a way to take care of them. And that is ultimately what this comes down to. And I know that sounds in some ways so elementary, right? Like it sounds so basic. Okay, take care of them. But this isn't like a check the box, you sent an email or made a phone call and said, how are you? Mm. That's not what I'm talking about. If you want someone to think of you when the opportunity is there, when there's a chance to refer you, and you want to be the one they think of, or better yet, listening for an opportunity to refer you when maybe there isn't one, but they just adore you so much that there's that opportunity to think about it. I'm not talking about the raving fan, right? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people talk about the raving loyal customer, the raving fan, the person who can't stop talking about you. Those are actually fewer and far between for most professional services type companies, right? Than like the shoe product that we all are go crazy for, right?
Yep.
So if we're thinking about those opportunities to get someone to where we will be top of mind with them, then we have to perform in a way where we're taking care of them, where we are top of mind. But I'm not talking about your newsletter, and I'm not talking about your CRM that says it's been 62 days since you called this person. You should call them, right? I'm not talking about those low end type of touch points, the email newsletters, the phone calls every once in a while, the text messages, how you doing? I'm talking about being memorable and meaningful in a way that allows you to deliver how you feel about that referral source. So in the Growth by Referrals program, we call them touch points, but mm-hmm. you can just think of it as outreach. It is outreach you're going to do for your referral sources so many times a year where you're actually going to be delivering a sense of thoughtfulness and care and thankfulness and authenticity. And that gratitude that you're going to share to them is because you're taking care of them because they take care of you. And the truth is this experience you're going to create goes along right with the next step, which is the language you're going to use while you are kind of creating that experience of Yep. those touch points, of that outreach. And so the language we use, which we call referral seeds, but that language we use along with taking care of these people is what gets them constantly and continuously remembering you. You impact their memory runway when you take care of them. Your e-newsletter that shows up every month that they're not paying attention to anyways isn't delivering care. So we have to look at it differently. It doesn't need to break the bank. It doesn't have to be crazy. Sometimes it's the handwritten note out of the blue that no one saw coming. Other times it's something else, right? Sometimes it's just a one-on-one conversation where you actually don't talk about yourself and you just focus on them. Right? I mean, there's lots of different things that we can do. But it's the language that we use, which I always kind of refer to inside my program as the secret sauce, right? It's the language that we use that allows us to connect with our referral sources while we're delivering care and thankfulness in a way that gets them thinking about us on a continual basis. And that is where the magic happens. There isn't really magic to it, but that is where it actually ultimately happens, where then we start being able to turn more referrals.
I suppose some people might find that's difficult because they haven't really ever seen it like that. But there's just so many synergies here with good marketing comms or good marketing planning and what you're talking about in terms of those touch points and being remembered for when that problem arises. What's the first name that comes to mind? It's that person. It's that business. You need to go and see them, or I need to speak to X, Y, and Z because I remember them. They're here, they're everywhere. They sent that quirky thing. They did that joke, that reminder, that video, that comms, whatever it was hugely personalized and it's still on my shelf, so to speak. You know, it's one of those things. So many connections that it's just, I'm really loving where this is going. So love the touch points and the seeds and the fact you've used seeds, because that's just the language that, you know, grow, develop and all that kind of stuff. I can tell you're good at what you do, you know.
Well, thank you so much. I've had some time to get really good at it.
Yeah, nice one. Okay, so I suppose number five, planning and implementation. I suppose this is key to all of it, isn't it, really?
You know what it is more than anything? It's the doing it.
Yep.
Right? There are people, it's so funny, when people are making the decision to join my program, they're like, okay, tell me why somebody wouldn't be successful. And I'm like, okay, like we all get this question, right? Like, tell me why somebody who, when they hire you, wouldn't be successful. And I'm always like, your inability to log in to the program and watch it mm-hmm. and then do what I'm telling you. Because there are so many people who like, I'm all in, and then they stink at execution. Right? I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, they just stink at the execution piece. And so what I have found is the simpler you keep something, the more likely we all are to do it. Mm-hmm. So I like to look at this plan, this experience we've just built with this great language we're going to use, and then make sure we actually implement it as part of our workflow so that it happens. So that when we're doing so many touch points throughout the year, we're actually doing them when we're supposed to. And if we can mm-hmm. delegate it, delegate it. If we can outsource it, outsource it. If it's something we have to do ourselves, then we're prepared to do that because it's either on our workflow, it's in our project management software, it's on our calendar, it's on our to-do list, whatever it is, however you use. I don't like people adding a system to execute on my process. I want them to use whatever it is they're using. I just want them to get it onto the calendar, so to speak, so that I know the execution actually happens. Because unfortunately, what our referral sources need to remember us continuously to refer us is for us not to go dark on them. Mm-hmm. And whereas they do not need to hear from you every day, they do not need to hear from you every week. And actually, the way I teach it, they really shouldn't even be hearing from you every month. But there should be some key times throughout the year, and there's a cadence behind it to where they are being connected with you. And in those moments, if you just go 6 or 8 months with nothing, anything you've done prior, it kind of like stops. And so we're building an experience year over year that builds on itself. So we have someone in the program that's actually building her 7th referral plan. So for 6 years, she's built and followed and executed on her plan. And every year she's hit her referral number goal that she wants to hit in terms of referrals received. And it's because she executes on her plans. And in some years where she wasn't as great executing on her plan, the years that she had done it prior supported her, right? And she still hit her number of referrals that she wants to receive. And so here's the thing, every business looks different. Some people are like, I need like 30 referrals and life would be amazing. Others are like, just give me 10 and mm-hmm. life would be perfect. Mm-hmm. And then I've got others who are like, no, I need 100. Whatever your number is, right? You build a process and your plan to fit that, mm-hmm. but for instance, the person I'm talking about, her name is Amanda and she's an attorney. And it was like, hey, just get me to 12 referrals. Got her there in her first year. Oh my gosh, would it be great if I could just do 20? Got her there. Well, I actually really could handle 30. And now all she wants is 40. 40 referrals a year tells her where her business is coming from, tells her exactly who she can say yes and no to and what she can count on, because now she's been doing it and now entering in her 7th year. And that is a way to build sustainability in your business. She's still got to work the plan though, which goes back to this point of execution, that process, making it a process and then implementing on it.
Mm-hmm. And it just, what I find easier, when it comes to implementing things like that or making sure that you actually do the work is, and this goes back years to when I first joined a gym many, many, many years ago. And that's a case of, you don't see it as a task, a to-do. It's there and it's as important as eating. It is just part of your daily life. You know, you wake up, you do exercise, and I'm just talking from an exercise perspective, but mm-hmm. it's a case of, well, I'm going to have breakfast. I'm going to go to the gym. And then I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And adding it in as part of the almost a non-negotiable is mm-hmm. is how I find I either break or make the good habits and break bad habits. And similar there, you know, 7 years of implementing that is some really good going.
Yeah, and let's be honest, right? Once you see it work, you're a little bit more committed to it. Just like going to the gym, right? Once mm-hmm. you see yourself getting stronger because you're going to the gym and you're feeling better and you're healthier and your doctor's happier with you, right? You're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna keep this gym thing going because it's working. The minute we see results, we're usually like, okay, I'm committed, mm-hmm. right? I mean, unfortunately, that's how we are as humans. Like we'll agree to do something, but we will quit if we don't actually see results. And so, you know, Amanda kept it going, just like anybody, you have to keep anything going. And then she saw the results and she's like, oh, well, now I'd be crazy to stop because it's working. Why do we walk away sometimes when the things that are working? I don't know. People do it all the time, but it's like getting back to that, I think, is really important.
Cool. So the final step then of this, again, massive connotations with how you develop marketing plans and what you do there, is tracking the results and improving on those results, like Amanda did. So how are we tracking these results? Have you got any tips there? What should we be looking at?
Yeah, so here's the thing. The number one thing that I know people look at when they think about getting more referrals is the number of referrals that they've received. But you don't know at the end of the year how many referrals you've received if you haven't actually tracked them along the way. So whether you're using it within a CRM, and that CRM, you can maybe like shift or change one of the categories that when it actually is a drop down to where this person came from, where this prospect came from, I need you to be able to put in someone's name. Like, that's really important. So modifying your CRM so that you can put in someone's name. Or use the good old Excel tracker, right? Just Excel some columns and pop in, hey, so-and-so referred this person to me on this date. That's all I really need you to have. Because then at the end of the year, you can look back and be like, wow, I got X number of referrals. And so, and what we do is we look at it and we're like, listen, if you're going to make the investment to join us with the program, not only are we looking at what's your average of referrals received, then we set a goal for how many we expect you to receive after your first year of following our plan, because we know ROI is important. We know return on investment is important, but it's not the most important metric I track. I know everybody who decides to purchase anything then tracks the ROI as quickly as possible. I made this investment. Was it worth it? I always tell my students, guys, I want you to make your money back and lots of money over that in your first year. But what I really want is a conversation you and I are going to have 3 or 4 years from now where you're like Amanda and you're telling me that it's still working. That is sustainability. And that is a metric I get really excited about. So yes, it's really important to make sure you're just tracking what's actually coming in. So whether it's in your CRM, whether it's in some kind of project management software, I mean, I have one student who uses Trello as she manages her referral plan because that's what's best for her, right? Whatever it is, you just have to track when a new prospect shows up. Where the heck did they come from? And if they were referred, you better be able to capture that information as well. And then, of course, once we kind of have the system in place, we're tracking referrals, we're seeing it improve, we're getting more referrals. The idea of always improving goes back to really a couple of key areas. Number one is, but are you getting the right quality? So once your referral sources are kind of getting in this habit of referring you, and maybe you don't have a lot of referral sources, so you had to go back and learn the training that we have about how to turn people, clients, and contacts into referral sources. Like, how do you get that first referral? We have a whole training on that too. So maybe you've been focused your first year on just increasing your number of people referring you and increasing the number of referrals you're receiving. But when you look at it, you're like, but they're not the right quality. Okay, well, process improvement tells us that once we've got our referral sources in the habit of referring us, then we can go back around and we can have a conversation with them that can actually help them understand how to improve the quality of the referrals they're sending to us. But we do it in a way that gets no one defensive and anyone upset. The other thing to consider is your closing ratio. That's great if I can take you from 10 referrals a year to 50. Woohoo! But if you're still only closing 10%, it's not much better. Right. And so I need you to increase your closing ratio, which means I need you to know, like, how do you talk to somebody who's been referred to you? Because you get to talk to someone who's been referred to you totally different than someone who found you on a Facebook ad who's still very, very skeptical that you can actually help them. The language, the conversation, the questions you ask are entirely different. So when we teach the process of, okay, get your process in place, right? Get your referral experience plan in place, learn the language, identify your referral sources, and start executing. Then we want to come back around and make sure you're getting the right quality, that you got the right closing ratio, that you know how to follow up with your referral sources so that you're continuing to get referrals from them. Then there's this process improvement stuff that we kind of go through to refine the system once the system's built.
I think talking to referrals, like you said, exactly, completely different to just a cold call coming in rather than you making the cold call, totally different conversation. It reminds me of a best man speech. So everybody's on your side. When you get that referral call, oh, such and such referred me to you. Just wondering if you can help us. It's like a best man speech in that everybody is on your side. Everybody wants you to succeed in that call. You know, whereas if it's a cold call, it's very much a, yeah, I'm not sure if you can help me or not. You're going to have to work hard here. You know, and it's everybody wants you to succeed. You know, there's a win-win here. They have obviously got a problem and your solution has been already sold in a way to them that it's right for them. So it's a case of, again, building that connection, human connection.
And as you said, it makes everything better, right? I mean, it makes everything easier. So yeah. I love your kind of connection to the best man speech. I mean, nobody wants a best man to get up there and bomb it. Everybody wants you to give a good speech. That's such a great way to look at it. Yes. Same way with those prospects who've been referred.
Love it. Okay. So final question or area that I just want to cover before we get into some quick fire questions. And we've covered it pretty much throughout, but it's getting into the right mindset, that mentality of playing the long game. And I think we touched on it when you were saying that people might come on your course and not implement. That's a sticking point. People might sign up and not turn up. That's a sticking point. People might not see results straight away because it needs to build. How do we get into that mindset of the long game on this?
So, you know, typically I always tell folks, when you're thinking about referrals, you're thinking about relationships, and there's no one relationship that's built in a very linear path. It's not like we meet, we decide we're going to be best friends, and then tomorrow we're best friends, right? Like, it doesn't work that, unless you're like my daughter and you're in fifth grade and, like, you know, every day she's got a new best friend, right? You're like, oh, I can't keep up with the drama. But the reality of it is that there's nothing really like lockstep linear as to how you're developing a relationship. And the minute I can smell something, you got an agenda, this is a little fishy, are you really trying to invest in a relationship here? The minute I'm completely turned off. So when we're thinking about referrals only coming from relationships, we have to recognize at that moment, then we're focused on building relationships. Mm-hmm. And if we're taking care of the people who take care of us, or taking care of the people that we hope one day can take care of us by referring to us, we recognize this is about them. And it'll be about them for as long as it needs to be about them, until they're able to one day, right, refer us. And then it still becomes and continues to be about them. We just hope to get more referrals from them in the process using the system. So it's that idea of knowing that you can't snap your fingers at someone and be like, Peter, give me a referral, right? But it is thinking about it from that perspective of, I know that's your end game, but let's start off by looking at this from the perspective of, how do I just take better care of you? How do I help you? Mm-hmm. How do I invest in you? How do I make your world important in my world? Because when I feel like you care about me, that is when I start to care about you. And then that is when everything starts to happen. And there's no set way that that works. It maybe takes one meeting with one person and six meetings with someone else, or conversations or touch points or whatever it is. You can't rush it, but you do need to be, you know, kind of consistent about it if you want to have referrals.
That's interesting, because I run this podcast, and I know other podcasters and some of them far more successful than I am, but some of them say that when they send emails out to potential guests, they've emailed them 7, 8, or 9 times. And on the 9th time, they've got a yes, just because they're so busy. They missed the email. They meant to get back to them. But on the 9th time, so it's so, and that isn't to say, like you said, email them every hour, email them every day, you know, that kind of thing. Email
them.
Don't
be a stalker.
Yeah, email them, DM them, stand outside and phone them. You know, we're not saying that, but it's that consistency. And people have always got the opportunity to say, go away, I am not interested. And until they say that without being stalkerish, without being intrusive, continue to try and build that relationship, because it could just be they're dead busy, but it is of interest and they've just forgotten.
Yeah. And it could be that they happen to be in an industry that they get hit upon all the time by people trying to want something from them or sell something to them. And so it may take some time for you to break through that barrier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of breaking through barriers, tenuous link, are you ready for some quick fire questions?
Oh, my Lord, I hope so.
Okay, right. What was the last thing you remember Googling?
That would have been last night, and I was Googling my latest tea obsession, which is this company called Tea Drops, and I was figuring out where to buy it because I'm obsessed with this tea. It's called Tea Drops, if you want to check it out.
Nice. Yeah. What's the most important thing to know about marketing or referrals right now?
That referrals only come from relationships. So if you want more referrals this year, you've got to be ready and willing and able to focus on building relationships and then letting the rest work itself out.
Okay. Stacey, why do you love what you do?
Oh, because it kept me from a business failure and the ability to help other small business owners and solopreneurs not end up where I am. I have the t-shirt of Business Failure Club. I don't need anybody else to have it. One is enough, even though I'm in a huge club of other business failed owners. I love the fact that growing your business by referrals does make life easier. Mm-hmm. And that is a gift I think that every business should need.
Brilliant. Final question, the most important one. Stacey, if people want to get in touch with you, know more about what you do, know more about your framework, where should they go?
So, of course, the home base is always the easiest place to go. It's StaceyBrownRandall.com. It's my website. Stacey is spelled with an E. But I tell people, if you really liked this conversation and you're just curious about where you stand in your ability to generate referrals, we have a really easy 9-question quiz that you can take that'll tell you, are you at the Referral Ninja Master level? Are you there? Or are you back at the beginning level? And if you answer these 9 questions, based on how you answer it, be honest, be truthful, these 9 questions will tell you what level you are and then provide a roadmap of, okay, here are the gaps we need to close if you want to get to that Referral Ninja Master level. And so you can find that quiz on my website. It's also at referralquiz.com. You can just go straight to that link as well, referralquiz.com. And take that quiz. It should take you like maybe a minute if you're thinking about your answers.
Everyone's got at least a minute in their lives as well. The links as ever will be in the show notes, so please do check them out. And I mean, finally, who doesn't want to be a ninja or have that on their CV? You know, I think that alone is worth the admittance fee, to be fair.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When people are in the program, we actually mail them a little ninja sticker. Yes. And it's got the colored belt of their level. And then we're like, hey, we want to get you more colored belts, right? So mm-hmm. we want to get you the master level. You want your red belt. And so it's always fun to watch them kind of get, they're like, they get excited about that ninja. It's good. Like, I'm improving. And that's what's important.
And it's almost like you're giving them another touch point that's a memorable touch point that people might talk about and then refer you maybe.
Possibly, yes. That client experience, it does matter.
Stacey, absolute pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so, so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Stacey, once again, thank you so much for joining me. Absolute pleasure to have you on and talk about all things referrals. Really interesting. So here's a couple of takeaways from that episode. And firstly, my top tip. And this is that Stacey mentions referral seeds, which are the touch points where consumers come into contact with your business. I'm a huge fan of knowing and understanding your touch points, and improving these to improve your overall referral success rate should pay off in the long run. Map out your customer journey, look at the touch points, and just better them. My favourite quote from this episode was when Stacey looked back at the old school tactics of getting referrals, which were, you have to ask for them, you have to pay for them, you have to be overly promotional or gimmicky. And this, for me, can lead to a falsehood of viewing these as the only tactics that work. Don't let that happen, because it fundamentally isn't true. And finally, the most important takeaway from this episode. If you want to improve your referral rate, think of the quality, not the quantity. If you do this, you'll see your closing ratio improve. So let's start to put some thought behind our referral tactics. Thank you so much for joining us today on Marketing Study Lab. It really means the world that you're listening to this out there. And hopefully I've provided you some value. If you're looking to know more about what Marketing Study Lab does and is about, go to marketingstudylab.co.uk or get in touch with me personally, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or feel free to email me at peter@marketingstudylab.co.uk. Happy marketing.